Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David concludes our Up Close series with a look at Simon of Cyrene as he carries Jesus' cross. Let's listen.
Okay, so today, I need you to be detectives, all right? Detectives as we study the scripture. So to get you in that kind of mindset of being a detective, I'm going to ask you a riddle. I don't know if you're good at riddles or not. I'm quite poor at them. But hopefully you're better than I am. And if you know the answer to this, you got to tell your neighbor and see if you've got this. Okay, so here's the riddle for you. One winter morning, there was a Mr. Wilson, and he found a man standing in the center of his front yard. But he wasn't really worried about it. The man stayed there for several weeks, and then eventually the man disappeared. Who was the man standing in the front yard? All right, you got 5 seconds. Tell your neighbor. What do you think? Who was the man standing in that front yard? Any guesses? A snowman. That's exactly right. Who got that right? A lot of you? See, you're smarter than I am. I was like, who's the man? Why is he standing there? All right. Good. You've got to be detectives, okay? Because we are studying the scriptures today. And we're studying it in a particular way. You see, we are reaching the end of our Lenten journey. Next week is Palm Sunday, but each Sunday throughout the season of Lent, we've been studying the story of one person whose life was changed after they had an up-close encounter with Jesus. And today, we're studying a man named Simon, but Simon is only in 3 verses in the entire Bible. 1 verse from Matthew, 1 verse from Mark, and 1 verse from Luke. And that's all that we know about Simon. Simon is the man who carried Jesus' cross for him. Well, that's the type of person I want to know more about. And what's interesting is that each of the Gospels share with us unique details, different details than the other Gospels. And so we're going to look through these 3 verses, and I want you to look for clues as to who Simon was. So let's begin with a little bit of background for you before Simon shows up. So at the point of this story, this is at the moment when Pilate turned over Jesus to be crucified. And then he sent Jesus to the soldiers. The soldiers had him flogged and beaten. It's at that moment that they give him a cross to carry, to his own crucifixion. Now, in this time period, in Jerusalem, under Roman oppression, nobody was crucified inside the bounds of Jerusalem. You always had to carry your cross outside. You'd go through the city gates, and you'd go up onto a nearby hill of Golgotha, which means the skull. And this was all part of the plan for Romans, where they would want whoever was being executed to carry their cross through the busy streets of Jerusalem on their way out of the town. Because that way, everyone else saw what was happening, right? You could just be walking into the market one day to pick up some bread, and you'd see people carrying their crosses. And that was Rome's way of intimidating the people. It was Rome's way of saying, if you do what they did, if you try to cross Rome, you'll end up like them as well. And so what we're told is that Jesus was beaten, he was bruised, and then he was given a cross. Okay, are you ready to be detectives? We're going to now study these 3 verses about Simon. The first one comes from Matthew. We're told as they were going out, meaning Jesus and the crowd, the mob, and the soldiers, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Hey, what did you notice? Hopefully you noticed what I highlighted, because I'm giving you a big hint there. We know where this man was from. And where a person is from can tell you a lot about the person himself. So Simon is from Cyrene. Now, Cyrene was a Greek settlement in northern Africa. So you see the map here. It would be modern-day Libya. Cyrene is right here on the bottom. It's on the coast, right on the Mediterranean Sea. You can see on the right side, you've got Palestine and Jerusalem. So he was a ways away from where he's actually from and where he lived. What this tells us is that it was a person from Northern Africa and not a person from Jerusalem who carried Jesus' cross when Jesus was in that moment of need. There's been many paintings and pictures done to depict this scene. I want to show you one so that as we're getting this scene into our minds, you can really imagine what it was must have been like. What that moment that Simon is taking the cross from Jesus and then carrying it for Jesus the rest of the way. So Simon is not from Jerusalem, although he's in Jerusalem on this fateful day. What else might we learn about Simon? Well, let's turn to Mark's gospel, because again, Mark shares one verse, but he shares some different details than what we learned from Matthew. Here's what Mark said. He said, "A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross." Okay, there are two pieces of information here that Mark shares that Matthew did not. First, he shares the names of Simon's sons, Alexander and Rufus. Now, this was a very, very strange thing to do. I mean, think about it. Mark is primarily writing to a Jewish audience around Jerusalem. And so at this time, he's sharing names of people that you think, well, how would they possibly know who they were? I mean, in Mark's mind, he's writing this gospel and he thinks it's going to be widely circulated. Lots of people are going to read this gospel. And so why include the names of the sons? It seems like so just kind of a tidbit, a footnote, if you will, in the story. Why share them unless people already knew who they were? Unless people understood, oh, Simon. It's like saying, Simon carried Jesus' cross. You know the Simon. These are his sons. This is his family. What this helps us understand is that even though we don't know who Simon was, he was obviously well known enough in this region, and particularly probably in the early church, that people recognized him. And when Mark said, oh yeah, this is his family, people reading this went, oh yeah, that's the Simon. That's the Simon who carried his cross. We see in Romans, Paul even seems to greet one of the sons. In Romans chapter 16, it says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." So we learn from Mark here that Simon and his family rose to some sort of prominence in the early church after Jesus' death and after these events. But that's not the only that we receive from Mark. There's one more I wanted to draw your attention to. So let's get Mark's version back on the screen. I highlight the next words there, that he was just passing by. He was on his way in from the countryside. Now, what that tells us is that Simon was not a part of the bloodthirsty mob that originally wanted Jesus crucified, right? He was not a part of the mob that bound Jesus and beat Jesus and put a cross on his shoulder. It looks like as this large mob was heading out of Jerusalem towards Golgotha, that Simon was actually coming in from the countryside, into Jerusalem, coming the opposite direction, and just happened to meet in the middle on the streets of Jerusalem. So most likely, Simon is just oblivious to what is happening until he sees three men, Jesus and the two criminals, carrying crosses. And I would guess that Simon would try to just kind of blend into the crowd. If he's been around Rome before, he's probably seen this happen before and is thinking, I don't want to get involved in all of this as he sees them pass by. But Simon is pulled into the fray against his will. Okay, we've got one more gospel to study. What does Luke remember of this scene? Let's explore. Luke says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. What Luke remembers is that Simon was seized, that the soldiers just took him and forced him to carry this cross. Simon is not asked. if he wants to carry the cross. He is seized and he is forced. So remember, the Jewish people at this point were under Roman occupation. They were not a free people. And Rome created a law called Angaria. And the law said that at any time, soldiers could force labor onto people and say, you are having to do this for me. Jesus referenced that earlier in one of his teachings when he said, if a soldier forces you to carry their gear for a mile, I want you to go two. I want you to go 2 miles. And in doing that, you're showing the soldiers, you don't have ownership over me. I'll keep walking for as long as I want to walk. You go the extra mile. And so that's what's happening here, where the soldiers are telling Simon, you are going to carry Jesus' cross. It doesn't matter if Simon had other plans that day. It doesn't matter if he was just trying to slink back into the crowd. He was taken, he was seized, and he was told to carry that cross. Now, I want to highlight here that carrying another man's cross was very uncommon. It would have been incredibly unusual. Because again, part of the humiliation of Rome was telling people, you have to carry your own cross, the cross that you'll eventually die on. Rome wanted that. And so why here in this situation would Rome be saying, you know what? Jesus is not carrying this cross anymore. Instead, it's going to be this man, Simon, that we're just seizing from the street. He is going to carry it instead. Why would they do that? Well, the answer most likely lays in Jesus simply being physically unable to carry that cross any longer. If we look to Matthew's gospel, he tells us what Jesus had to go through right before being handed this cross. In Matthew chapter 27, we're told that then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. And then they put a staff in his right hand, and then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him. And then they led him away to crucify him. So Jesus was beaten with the staff on the head multiple times. And then after that, he was given this cross and told to walk. Having to undergo such unbelievable torture, it's most likely that Jesus' body was simply about to give out. He just could not physically carry it even one more step. So the soldiers grab Simon and they have him do it instead. So in this moment, I want you to put yourself in Simon's shoes and imagine what this must have been like for him. He's just coming in from the countryside. Maybe he has his boys with him, maybe his wife as well. You see then the people walking through with the crosses and you try to get out of the way. But one of the soldiers sees you. They grab you and they say, you are carrying this cross. And all of a sudden you feel the weight of a cross on your shoulder. And then the angry crowd that demanded Jesus' crucifixion, now that's all around you as you're walking through these narrow streets. You finally make it out of Jerusalem and you see the hill of Golgotha, the hill of the skull. And with every step you take, you're wondering, why was I chosen? Why me? Why did the soldiers force me to do this? I want to highlight one more detail in Luke's account. Let's get that up one more time. I highlight that they made him carry the cross behind Jesus. Luke is the only gospel that tells us that detail, that as Simon carried that cross, Jesus walked right in front of him the entire way up to Golgotha. That means that he saw in that moment everything from Jesus' perspective. He saw the crowds right there. He saw the hill coming into view. He walked the path step by step after Jesus. It's fascinating to me that we're told in Scripture that Jesus takes on the burdens of the world, but in this moment, for just a little while, Simon takes on the burdens of Jesus. Okay, so you've been detectives. You've sought to learn from the different gospel accounts of who Simon was. How does that change us? What are we supposed to learn from this encounter as Christians today, 2,000 years later, who are doing our best to live a life of discipleship? Well, honestly, I think what we see with Simon is that it is a vivid example of a teaching that Jesus made earlier. It's a teaching that we see in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see, Simon is doing literally what all of us should be doing figuratively. We follow Jesus, even when that leads us to the cross. Now, notice the first words in this statement that Jesus made. If anyone would choose to come after me, if anyone would choose to follow me. Jesus doesn't expect that everybody will. Jesus understands, okay, if you know that this path of discipleship is going to be a path that leads to the cross, not everyone's going to want to do that. So he says, if anyone is invited, anyone can freely choose, but nobody is forced, nobody is coerced, it is a free choice. And yet, if a person is ready to spurn all other ways of life and say, "I'm following the way of Jesus," then that way necessarily leads to the cross, because we follow the suffering servant. We follow the crucified Christ. Yes, if we follow this path, Jesus says, the first step is self-denial. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer speaks about this. He spoke a lot about the way of the cross, and he knew something about it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor. He was a German pastor at the time that Hitler and the Nazis rose to power. And he decided in that moment to speak out. He decided to speak out against that because as a pastor, he thought he knew what was right and what was not. And he knew that in doing that, in speaking out against it, it was going to lead to the cross, his own cross. It was going to lead to suffering, and it eventually led to his death at the hands of the Nazis. But before he died, he wrote a book. And the book's called The Cost of Discipleship, because he knew that discipleship had a cost, that really following Jesus will cost you everything. But in return, you receive your only true abundant life back. And in that book, he wrote about what it means to deny oneself to follow Christ. Here's what he said. He said, "To deny oneself is to be aware only of Christ and no more of self. It is to see only him who goes before and no more the road which is too hard for us." So to deny oneself is not to think badly about oneself or try to put yourself down. It is to learn to see Christ in you. Yet eventually what it is it's learning to see less and less of yourself as an individual apart from Christ, and more of the presence of Christ in you, which is your true identity. To put it another way, self-denial is saying, okay, I'm only going to see Jesus and not the road I walk, right? We're all walking on this road of life, and we don't know what this road entails. We don't know the challenges that will come, the trials that we will have to go through, but what Jesus is saying is don't focus on the road. Focus on the one that you're following as we walk this road. Much like Simon did, as he was walking in the footsteps right behind Jesus, he focused on Jesus and not the road that we have to walk. Bonhoeffer goes on. He says, "Once more, all that self-denial can say is he leads the way. Keep close to him. Keep close to him. Keep close to Christ." That really is discipleship in a nutshell. We watch where Jesus walks, and we follow him, even if it leads to the cross. Now, we don't always get to choose our cross-bearing moments, do we? Suffering, the trials of life, they often come unexpectedly. Illnesses and conflict, tragedy. But I'm reminded that Simon did not get to choose his time either. He was just seized from the street and chose or then forced to carry that cross. But he bore Christ's cross all the same, just as we should. And so who knows what sort of trials in life await us? No one can predict what will come, but we all know without a shadow of a doubt who it is that we follow on that road through those trials. It is Jesus, the crucified Christ. Keep close to him. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.